All right, it is game day here on TSN 1050, not the radio show that used to air on these airwaves, but in fact, it's Leafs and Bruins game day. It's game three here in Toronto. It's Karolnik and Koliakovo, and this hour first up is brought to you by Subaru. Coco, it's not the nicest of days, a little chilly for a late April morning, but man, the anticipation is building. I cannot wait for tonight.
Two things, AK. One, I'm ready to throw in the towel with this weather. Like, I'm
weekend, 20 degrees. We're good.
I know. I'm done with the cold. Like, it's done. Get over it. Bring on the warm weather. It's golf season. It's spring. Let's go. And you know what else it is? It's playoff time.
Oh, is it ever.
And I'm pumped for today. Like, game three, game one at home for the Maple Leafs. I know two people on the show that are going to be in the building tonight. That's going to be even more exciting to get down to watch playoff hockey. And all the buildup and anticipation, especially with all the news that broke yesterday in the NHL, man, I feel bad for the Vancouver Canucks. And all the games that we saw yesterday, we saw our first overtime game. Man, did the Tampa Bay Lightning miss a big opportunity to tie the series. What a goaltending battle there is in that series. But to turn the page back to Toronto, I feel the buzz in this city. I was out and about yesterday and running into people, and you could tell there's a different level of excitement now with this team because they're returning home, and there's a different level of optimism, I would believe, too, because of, you know, the way they won and how they won and who scored to help them win with Austin Matthews. So let's go, man. The buzz is here. Let's build up that buzz today on this radio show. Oh, yeah. Let's get people teed up, get them excited. Let's get that Scotiabank Arena rocking, because that's the one thing I've noticed too. Like, have you seen some of the atmospheres in these buildings of the games that we're watching?
They are beyond electric. Like in Winnipeg, Vancouver, both bad results for those teams. We'll get to that later.
How about Florida?
Our boy Garv from Covers was at that game last night.
Incredible.
The Panthers and Lightning, and said it was unbelievable. The Battle of Florida. Again, Carter Verhaeghe scoring in overtime for the Panthers. He is the most clutch performer in hockey. I saw a stat. Let me see if I can pull it up here. But Verhaeghe in overtime. And it is just nuts how clutch this guy is. He has 5 overtime winners, does Carter Verhaeghe, in his NHL career, which makes no sense. I mean, he has as many overtime winners as Patrick Kane does. But it's just, like, Maurice Richard has 6, and Carter Verhaeghe has 5. Joe Sakic, the all-time leader in overtime winners in the Stanley Cup playoffs, by the way, with 8, which is an interesting stat.
And Verhaeghe's right there.
And Verhaeghe has 5. I mean, he's got a long way to go to catch Joe Sakic. But, I mean, Verhaeghe seemingly year after year always comes up clutch. And last night was no exception. Florida now up 2-0 over Tampa. I mentioned the Colorado. I mean, it's amazing. We talk about momentum, which clearly does not exist. Like, yesterday we're talking, oh, Gorgiev, what a stiff. This guy's garbage. Colorado's finished. And he was great. And Hellebuck was the guy that you have to have questions about, not only after game number 2, but game number 1 as well, where he gave up 6 goals. He has not been good.
11 goals in 2 games.
Not been good at all. And then the biggest goaltending story of all is the status of Thatcher Demko, who was one of the best goalies all year long. Vancouver has this amazing season, and then you get the email alert, oh yeah, Demko, he's out for game 2, questionable for the rest of the series, probably not going to play again, let's be honest here.
Hard to imagine he will.
And Casey DeSmith, I mean, it's not like the Nashville Predators had a ton of shots on goal last night. I think it was 15 in total. DeSmith allows 3, and I think the shot attempts were heavily skewed towards Nashville's favor, but at the end of the day, you lose Demko. And that's just the luck of the draw sometimes in the playoffs. And for Vancouver, no luck at all. Just a devastating loss.
Here's the worst part about that is, you know, when the news broke yesterday, can't even imagine, you know, some of the feeling that was going through Vancouver fans and even in that Vancouver locker room. But it didn't take long in that game yesterday for them to start feeling even more worried about Demko being out. Less than 90 seconds into that game, Nashville scores to take the lead. And, you know, you didn't even have a chance to breathe or didn't have a chance to see if this could actually work with DeSmith and Nett because, you know, Nashville scored that early. They pile it up. They have a 3-0 lead going into the third period, and that's a tough thing to overcome for Vancouver, even though Vancouver is a good team. But you got Saros on the other side that is more than equal of what Demko represented and just made it more challenging for the Vancouver Canucks. And I actually feel bad for them. I feel bad for them because they've had a great season, and you know the impact that goalies have in playoffs, you know, in games and series, in runs. And I don't think DeSmith is capable enough of carrying this team, and I guess we'll wait to see and find out. But you know, going back to this whole crowds thing, which crowd has caught your attention the most as being the most electric?
I feel like it's Winnipeg, the whiteout. Although there was that one salmon shirted fella.
Is that Jesse Pollock?
I mean, no, Jesse would be wearing the white. This guy is his biggest
supporter. I feel like Jesse would be that guy just so he could get the
just
attention.
So he could stick out. That's a very good point. We'll probably see Jesse down at Maple Leaf Square
tonight. Oh, we will, for sure.
He'll be doing some kind of nonsense activities on behalf of Bar Down. But yeah, I mean, the whole, and I'm not sure what MLSE has planned for tonight down at Scotiabank Arena, but I'm sure there's some kind of giveaway, towels or shirts
or whatever.
But it's just like, there's something about the buildup of a Leaf game. Not only if you're fortunate enough to be in attendance, but even just walking around the city. Yeah, it's just, it kind of like gets me a little bit emotional. I'm so fired up for this game tonight. It's going to be so electric down there. And for the Leafs, you're wondering, is William Nylander going to play? We have no idea. I woke up to a text from my buddy. WTF with Nylander. When is he coming back? I've had enough. And I think that would be something that everybody could agree. We'd love to know if Nylander's playing. Again, a pure guess would be the answer is yes.
I'm going to guess he's in tonight.
I would guess that as well. But
and I wouldn't even call it a guess.
Oh.
I'm going to presume.
Oh, a presumption. Now we're talking.
And so we'll have a lot of time to get into that, but the crowd that has really caught my attention so far early here in the playoffs has been the New York Rangers crowd.
Mm.
Like, they have the best goal song in the league. They really do. And it really gets the crowd going, and you know, you hope that whatever the Maple Leafs have planned tonight, they can find a way to do that as well. But like, it is electric at that Madison Square Garden. It really is. And, you know, we see on TV what it feels like to be in Winnipeg, and I bet it is just phenomenal to be part of that atmosphere. You know, we see Vancouver, and Vancouver will always hold a soft spot for me because it was the place I played my first ever NHL game. Carolina, rock me like a hurricane when that thing gets playing. Holy crap, the hairs on my arms and body just, you know, spike like hell. And I don't know, playoff hockey just brings a different level of excitement. It really does. It's like everything means so much more. And when you have those environments and that type of atmosphere to play in, and I mean, I didn't stay up late enough the night before to see what Edmonton was like, but you can imagine that's pretty rocking too. I really, really hope Scotiabank Arena takes a step to get to a different level tonight. I really do.
Well, if they show you on the Jumbotron, you'll be standing there and the crowd will just freak out.
Take my shirt off.
Cole Yakubo is here. Take your shirt off. That will get him riled up. Jason Kelce Styles. I'll be Taylor Swift, and you could be Jason Kelce. Or
our boy
Kylie Kelce.
You know what else is coming out tonight? You know our boy Wayne Robbins?
Do I know Wayne Robbins? Of course. I love Wayne Robbins.
What does he wear come playoff time?
Oh, he wears his luchador mask?
Yes!
Oh, wow. The luchador mask is a good look. That could
be something. The luchador mask is coming out tonight.
I will say we have a sordid history of attending games as members of the media. I remember last year, the Florida game number 2, where the Leafs gave up two goals in like 30 seconds to start the second period. They lost that game. 2019, yeah. The NBA Finals, Game 5, when Curry and Thompson...
So we're not luck together, is what
we're going to find out. We're going to find out what tonight is. Also, Brian Hayes, I imagine, will be in attendance as well.
He will.
And if that's the case, I mean, wasn't it last year that every game Hayes
game
was
that
at?
He went to? They lost.
Well, they also lost, like, I think last year they were 1-5 at home in the playoffs. So
right.
I don't think... I think it was more about the Leafs at home as opposed to Brian Hayes or you and I. So we'll find out. Again, the game is on TSN 1050 tonight. Just after 7 o'clock, and it's going to be an exceptional day, an exceptional evening here in Toronto. We've got some great guests to tee up the game. Andrew Irwin is going to join us.
Oh, and yes, the legend.
The pictures, the videos of him catching that puck in Boston in Game 2 and celebrating, going crazy, wearing his Leafs jersey as the entire crowd eyed him down and probably wanted to fight him. Was exceptional. He's going to join us, talk about that experience in just over an hour. Chris Johnston, our hockey insider, maybe he has some insight on Nylander's status, we hope. He's going to join us for Leafs Breakfast. Andrew Raycroft, an alumni of both the Leafs and the Bruins at 8:15. Craig Button, our director of scouting here at TSN, and the voice of the Leafs, Joe Bowen, in the 9 o'clock hour. So locked and loaded, a ton of hockey talk ahead. We'll let you hear from Sheldon Keefe / Sheldon Belichick on the other side as to the plan with Nylander and what the Leafs have cooking ahead of a pivotal Game 3 tonight in Toronto. I'm Aaron Kurolnik. He is Carlo Koliakovo. A massive Wednesday morning edition of First Up continues after this. Game 3 tonight, Leafs-Bruins, is on TSN 1050, and I'm sure you're wondering, just like everybody who follows the NHL, the Toronto Maple Leafs, is William Nylander going to play? Now, the information regarding Nylander has been sparse, and that's putting it mildly. Sheldon Keefe has been revealing absolutely nothing. Let's find out if that changed yesterday. Here's Keefe on the 98-point player in William Nylander. Sheldon, take it away.
Well, obviously, no update today because, you know, not much happening for us here today except for getting ready to travel, but it's a possibility for us tomorrow, I guess is all we would say.
Possibility. So you're saying there's a chance that we could see Nylander.
Where's, all right. Where's the Lloyd Christmas audio clips? You're telling me there's a chance. From Dumb and Dumber.
That would be nice if he played, though. It really would be. And I was kind of going through it yesterday. Just how much more potent the Toronto Maple Leafs are. And we'll talk about Marner and Tavares and their struggles. Maybe they get Nylander on their line tonight. Or maybe it is a Matthew Nyes on the left side or a Cale Yarncroke on the left side. And Nylander's playing on the third line to add more depth to the Toronto Maple Leafs up front. But regardless of how it looks with Nylander, if they get Nylander, man, that would just be a huge boost. And imagine the burst in the crowd, too, if 88 skates out there and
yeah.
People would just go nuts after all the mystery surrounding his status.
Yeah, it'll definitely create an extra buzz in the building, that's for sure, because, you know, it would be a welcome sign that he'd come back. And, you know, you think about playing these last two games without him and, you know, coming back with a 1-1 split, and now you get to add a player like Nylander to your lineup. You know, Boston's not sitting there with the same sort of, you know, seeker weapon, as you would say. And I'm not saying that Nylander is a seeker weapon, but he is a huge boost to this lineup. Boston, you know, they're going to bring in a new defenseman because Peak's not available on the back end. But they don't have a player like Nylander presents with his talent available to them to add to the lineup to give them an extra boost. So I think where the series sits right now, if you could add a player like that to your lineup, it just makes you feel good, even better about your chances to win, especially, you know, when you're returning home and you want your building to have as much energy as it possibly can. You know, the same can't be said about what happened in Vancouver last night where, you know, unfortunately, the Demko news of him being out, you know, you would have thought that the energy in the building would have felt different, but it only took 90 seconds for that energy to get completely deflated in that building because Nashville scores the first goal and everything that that Vancouver fan base feared ended up happening. So you don't want something like that to happen in the case of, you know, in Toronto.
You got to get the first goal. You got to get the first goal if you're Toronto. Yeah. And they haven't gotten the first goal in six straight games against the Boston Bruins. But it's a series in which certain trends have already been broken, right?
Yeah.
We know the Leafs' performance against Boston the last couple of years, the last 65 years in the postseason has not been very good. But maybe game two represented something different. With regards to the potential of Nylander, and we know what Matthews and Domi and Bertuzzi did, the top line for the Leafs, just dominating Boston. If there is a world in which Nylander joins Tavares and Marner and they don't absolutely destroy Boston, that trio, like, my mind will be blown. Like, you're getting Boston's second D pair, whoever it is. Maybe it's McAvoy and Carlo or Grizzly. I'm not sure how Boston's going to set it up. But, I mean, there's no excuses. Like, first of all, there's no excuses, period, for Tavares and Marner, how they've played so far at 5-on-5. It's not been good at all. It's not been good, and no one would sugarcoat it. But, I mean, and do I think they need to add Nylander in order to get them going? That would be a ridiculous assessment as well. But if you did, if you did, and I would just be really, really intrigued to see how that trio would look together tonight. And we have seen it in spurts this year at the end of the regular season. I think it was in Jonas Siegel's article yesterday. They were 19-4 in shot attempts in a brief period they spent together. That trio, Nylander, Marner, and Tavares. So you could look at that. And like, as far as a two-headed monster when it comes to two really nasty top lines, very few teams in the NHL would be able to find a way to match up against Matthews, who is absolutely rolling right now and was a literal monster in game number two. And then the next line over the boards features a guy who scored 98 points in Nylander, Mitch Marner, a guy who is a perennial 90-plus point player, and John Tavares, who stepped up in game number two, scored that huge power play goal. We know he's been a really good playoff performer as well. That'd be a hell of a tough time for Jim Montgomery and the Boston Bruins to find a way to match up with that, especially considering they're already down a defenseman in this series.
Well, you're absolutely right. It would be a tough matchup, but think about if they play him on the third line.
Could do that too. Could absolutely right? do that too.
That's where we always, like, everything that we dissected before the series started, when you're trying to match up both teams, this is why people like myself and others always believe that Boston presented a better matchup for the Toronto Maple Leafs because of their forward depth. Right? Now they just got to take advantage of it. Right, and whether that includes Nylander or it doesn't include Nylander, even without Nylander in the lineup, you still believe that they have the matchup advantage up front. Look, I expect William Nylander to play tonight. I have a feeling, based on whatever it is he's dealing with, that this was the timeline, that he would return tonight, and I have a hard time believing that it'll change. Now, in saying that too, the Maple Leafs stayed in Boston after the game. It was a travel day yesterday. Does not being on the ice yesterday impact his decision to play today? You would hope not, with whatever it is he's dealing with, because it's playoffs. I don't think you need to feel like you need to be on the ice every day. It's all about being ready for the games. But if I was a betting guy right now,
and you are,
I would probably lean very high right now that William Nylander will return to the lineup tonight.
And we just saw him skate on, what day was that? Was that on Saturday or on
Sunday?
Sunday, yes. Yeah,
well, Monday morning in pregame skate.
Yeah, in the pregame skate. We saw him skate for almost an hour. And I mean, it's 2 days later.
Here's the other thing, too, AK. As much as I feel confident he will return tonight, you also got to look at the outlook of the next couple of days.
It's
you're
true.
1-1 in a series.
And you're off till Saturday after tonight.
And you're off till Saturday after tonight. If whatever it is he's dealing with could use one more day, well, the benefit of one more day turns into three more days because of the schedule. And does that get him to closer to 100% that you want him to feel like at this time of year, based on whatever it is he's dealing with, which is the biggest mystery of all of what it is he is dealing with, because it's hard to figure out by watching him skate, and it's hard to predict based on the information we're receiving.
Yeah, that's an interesting point in that you could bring Nylander back tonight, and I'm sure it's something they could do. Like, Nylander could play. It's just a matter of...
This will be up to the player, yeah, not the team.
Is it a prudent decision for him to play or give it a couple more days? I guess my point is, if the Leafs were down 2-0 as opposed to tied 1-1, I wonder if that could affect as far as the decision-making goes. And again, it's game number 4 on Saturday in Toronto, so of course it's Wednesday right now. You get a couple days in between these games. So that is something you have to factor in. But again, the fact that he skated on Monday, I don't know. I just find it hard to believe that he's not going to be out there, but we'll have to wait and see. Again, Chris Johnson will join us at 7:45. We'll find out what he's hearing, the latest on William Nylander. Arod will join us on the other side. We'll play some Bang or What with him. Again, Andrew Raycroft will join us. Looking forward to that. An alumni of both the Leafs and the Bruins. And Joe Bowen, the voice of the Toronto Maple Leafs.
Oh, Bonesy.
Who just puts on a clinic every single time right now. I mean, this guy is firing 98-mile-per-hour fastballs. Every night, he's doing Maple Leafs radio broadcast alongside Jim Ralph. Again, Game 3 tonight on TSN 1050. We'll also talk to Andrew Irwin, who we're really looking forward to catching up with. He was the Maple Leaf fan in Boston who caught the puck, was going crazy, and what type of reception he got from the Bruins fan. We're going to have to...
He's got annihilated by booze.
He did, and hopefully that's all he was annihilated by, because those Bostonians, they're a scary bunch. They're a scary bunch. Arod on the other side, the first up scoreboard still to come as well. Jam-packed night in the NBA, and the Jays... Not the best offensive performance. Ugly stuff for them against Kansas City. All that's still to come in hour number one.
Ready, set, react. It's Bang or What? Will this segment end with a
bang
or a
what?
We'll talk to Chris Johnson, TSN Hockey Insider, at 7:45. The latest on Nylander's status ahead of Game 3, which goes tonight in Toronto, 7 o'clock here on TSN Radio. This is a segment we call Bang or What. Usually we do it in hour number 2, but today it's in hour number 1. It's hosted by Arod Osvandi. What do we got today, buddy?
Let's start with a super game down in Miami, Florida. Bang or what, Bobrovsky made one of the greatest saves of all time for people that haven't seen it.
Goodness.
Florida wishes they played in Miami. Sadly, they don't play in Miami. Sunrise, Florida, far from Miami. Man, wouldn't it be great if the Panthers did play down in Miami? I'm sure they'd be even a more desirable destination than they already were. But that was an unbelievable save from Bobrovsky.
Game-changing.
Like, so...
Game-changing.
You know, so sick.
You think about the time of that save... Florida got off to a 2-0 lead, took that into the intermission. Tampa came out in the second and scored 2 quick goals to tie it. Shortly after they scored their second goal, Matt Dumba has a tap-in empty net to make it 3-2 Tampa and completely steal every little bit of momentum that Florida might have had in that game. And Bobrovsky just sprawls out and does the Dominic Hasek reverse hand and swats the puck out of the net. I'm going to say bang to being the save of the year so far. Just because not only was it an incredible save, but the timing and the impact that save had on the game kept it 2-2, allowed Florida to win it overtime.
I also say bang to the call as heard on the Florida Radio Network.
To take this into the Panther zone, has a man trailing in, let a shot go wide off the inboard, put up from Stamkos, back it up. What a save, Bobrovsky! Bobrovsky with the trapper to deny Dumba, the defenseman who was open in front with a yawning cage. Sergei Bobrovsky displaying acrobatics to keep this game tied at 2.
The fans here at Amerant Bank Arena can't believe what they just saw, that display of goaltending and gymnastics from Sergei Bobrovsky.
Absolutely diabolical. How did he come up with that?
Some great terms there. Yawning cage is my favorite. And diabolical. That was an amazing save. Shout out to Sergei Bobrovsky. Shout out to Vasilevsky as well. I mean, those two guys were going toe-to-toe last night. That was a hell of a goaltending performance on both sides. Again, the Panthers winning 3-2 in overtime. 2-0 series lead.
Bang or what? The Maple Leafs will use the same six defensemen in the first round.
I mean, this, you say first round, like, I mean, we're two games in. I don't expect the Maple Leafs to make any lineup changes tonight unless William Nylander comes back in. I have to think that, you know, I'm going to say, what?
Ooh.
Because I think that at some point in this series, something might happen. And if you lose the next game, do you maybe tinker with taking somebody out of the lineup? You know, the fact that TJ Brody is sitting on the outside, a veteran guy that, you know, you've seen play a lot of playoff hockey for you. I'd have to think that at one point in this series, you might see him at least get a game, or maybe Mark Giordano get a game as well, too. I mean, he's fired up to get in there and play some inspired hockey for this team. So I'm going to say, bang, we'll see somebody change within the defense group for at some point in this series.
It won't be tonight, but I'm totally with you. TJ Brody is going to play a game at some point in the series, you would imagine. And it's not going to come after a win like we saw in game number two. Probably more likely after a loss. And maybe that's in game four. Maybe that's in game five. I think everybody expects this to be a very long series, at least six games. So at some point in time, I'm with you. I think Brody does slot in.
Bang or what? The Canucks Stanley Cup hopes are dead without Thatcher Demko.
Were they ever alive?
Well, they were. I mean, what do you mean? Were they? They get Nashville in the first round, and you get the winner of Edmonton, LA in the second round. I mean, the fact that they had that path. I mean, look, Thatcher Demko is a Vezina Trophy finalist. I honestly believe that, and Thatcher Demko was a big reason why the Vancouver Canucks were as good as they were all season. You saw when he wasn't there late in the season and this team struggled down the stretch in the playoffs, you saw the boost that he gave them in game one. I mean, that game-saving save he made a couple minutes into the game where he stretched across and made an unbelievable save on Beauvillier, and obviously, you know, some of the other big saves he made in that game. He's a difference maker. And without him, I think they're, I wouldn't even say Stanley Cup. I think their playoff series hopes are squashed against the Nashville Predators.
Yeah, and they could really use Elias Pettersson stepping up and performing up to his capabilities. Last night he was a dash three, and we talk a lot about Mitch Marner in this market. I know the exact same conversations are being had in Vancouver about Pettersson and his performance through two games. He needs to be much better if Vancouver is able to overcome this Demko injury. Much better. Go ahead, Rod.
Bang or what to Thailand beating Kuwait 57-0 in a double IHF under 18 World Cup qualifier game?
Thailand and Kuwait play hockey?
Apparently, yeah.
57-0.
I don't know where they find the ice, but
how is there not a mercy rule in that?
Right? Like that game should have ended after like 30-0, you know?
Or even 20-0. It's like, okay, guys, like, we're not really getting here. Like, let's save everybody the rest of the embarrassment here, and let's just get out. We'll say, who's the team that won? Was it Kuwait that won, or was it Thailand?
I would guess Thailand won.
Thailand won. Yeah.
Thailand won. Okay, Thailand, you win 20-0. Sure. Yeah.
Arad, you should go check out the Thailand hockey team when you're there.
Scouting, yeah.
Yeah, maybe they could be the next new international force.
Shots were 122-1. So the goalie still had like 70 saves even though he lost.
Should be the number one star.
That's brutal.
Very brutal.
Absolutely brutal.
We all know Zach Wilson got traded from the
Broncos. How do you Jets fans feel about your boy Zach Wilson traded to the Denver Broncos?
We've got a two-time MVP, Super Bowl champ under center. Yeah, he's 40. He's got a torn Achilles. He's a conspiracy theorist, an absolute moron off the field, but hell of a football player. I feel great about the Jets. No worries.
So who's
there.
The Jets' backup now? Is it back to Tim Boyle?
Doesn't matter. Maybe they'll be drafting somebody. I don't know. 10th pick overall. Get a superstar there. Just to add to our collection of beasts.
So Zach Wilson and company were part of the Trevor Lawrence draft, correct?
That is correct, yes.
Trevor Lawrence is the only quarterback that still plays on his own team out of that draft. Mm-hmm. Everybody else has been traded.
Yeah, Lance.
And traded for like sixth round picks.
Mac Jones.
Yeah.
It's true.
Crazy. All those guys aren't within good. 3 years.
Yeah, all those
within
guys 3 years. Are back. Now, Zach Wilson is worse, is a complete stiff compared to Justin Fields, who I don't think is great either, but obviously you'd much rather have Fields than Zach Wilson. Probably rather have Mac Jones.
I kind of like the spot where Wilson ended up because guess who he gets the chance to get coached by? A real coach in Sean Payton.
That does help. I mean, he might play for them. I mean, like at this point in time, it's not like there's.
Well, who was the guy that was finished the season for them last year?
Jarrett Stidham.
Jarrett Stidham. Yeah, Zach Wilson has a great chance to play next year.
Yeah, that says a lot about what Denver has at quarterback. And again, there is the rumor that they're going to be drafting Bo Nix, the quarterback. Out of Oregon, I believe. So
2 more days. Actually, one more day tomorrow.
I cannot wait for the NFL
draft.
Yes. What great timing. Like, thank goodness it's not the same night as a Leaf game.
Yeah.
Because then my attention will be a little bit, swayed between the two. But, of course, Leafs primary viewing at all times. But, yeah, Leafs, Bruins tonight. And then the NFL draft on TSN tomorrow. Cannot wait. It's going to be fun. I have really ramped up the wagering on the NFL draft as well.
Oh, jeez.
It's juicy. And the CFL draft, which is next Tuesday.
What?
Oh, yeah. CFL
you
draft.
You got to stay away from that, man. You lose way too much money on the CFL
draft. You have no
draft.
Idea how much cash I have down. The dude to go first overall. Some scary stuff. I forget what his name is, but there's a lot of money on the line.
Forget what his name is, but I'm betting.
Joe Blanco, I think is his name. Something like that. I did some due diligence yesterday talking to my sources. Apparently, he's a lock.
Okay, Arad, can I step in here and do a bang or what?
Sure.
Okay, so... 20 fingers. Can you cue up the game 2 call of the New York Knicks and Philadelphia 76ers when my boy Mike Breen tried to steal my catchphrase in his game winning call?
Trying gets it out to Ananobi. DiVincenzo at 3. Bang! Bang! Knicks take a 1-point lead with 13 seconds remaining.
What a
disgrace. Shout out to Mike Breen.
What
great
a joke.
Call. Can't believe you stole my catchphrase from me.
Shame on you, Mike.
Bang or what to the L2M report that came out yesterday.
What's an L2M report?
It's the NBA
Yes,
the NBA report of the referees in the last 2 minutes of a game. And it declared that the refs missed Knicks fouls and the timeout that Nick Nurse tried to call twice during that sequence. I'm sorry, when you lose like that, which Joel Embiid came out yesterday and said, that loss felt worse than the Kawhi four bouncer. Okay? How do you sit there in the NBA offices and admit there was 4 missed calls in the last 2 minutes of that game that ultimately led to the Knicks hitting that game-winning shot in a playoffs?
Tough look. Very tough look.
So bang or what to the L2M report? I think it's a what? Are you kidding me right now?
Transparency, baby.
If you're the 76ers, if you're going to come out and say there was mistakes made and have no consequences laid out for that, what's the point of even admitting it?
It's a very fair point. Like, what are you gaining if you're the NBA, the teams involved by this last 2 minute report? I don't know, but I guess it's just an acknowledgement that, we screwed up. But if you watch the game, it was pretty obvious. I didn't need a last 2 minute report to tell me that these refs bungled the end of that Sixers.
The NBA's admitting they made a mistake, but if they admit they make a mistake, like, what's the consequence? You're going to go back and play the last 30 seconds of that game?
Probably should.
You know, I don't understand it. That's why I'm saying what to it. Yeah. Like, why is this report even necessary? All it does is angers Philadelphia people even more.
You're right. I mean, MB did say they're still going to win the series, so it's not over yet, at least according to him. Maybe they can overcome the atrocious refereeing. Go ahead, Arad.
I think that's a bang. I mean, that game happens anywhere but Madison Square Garden. Maxi gets that call, you know? But it's in Madison Square Garden, so Tyrese.
So you're saying bang to the report, even though they admit they're wrong?
Yeah, I mean, I like that, you know, at least they're accountable for what they're doing.
Yeah, but what are they accountable for? There's no consequences.
But at least they admit they made a mistake, right? Anyways, let's move on here. Pascal Siakam last night led the Pacers to a victory, 37 points, 11 rebounds, 6 assists. Pacers won 125-108 over the Milwaukee Bucks. Bang or what? In 5 years, when we look back on the Siakam trade, it'll go down in history as one of the worst trades in Raptors franchise history.
No.
5 years? How about 5 minutes after the trade? I could have told you that.
No, it's definitely not the worst trade in Raptors
history. He never said the worst. He said one of the worst. Which is a more broad assessment.
I think it'll be up there with Vince Carter. Like, it'll be one
on
one A, that
man.
One Vince Carter.
That's stupid take.
Nothing is ever going to trump the Vince Carter trade.
Siakam was an expiring contract.
I'm not saying it's worse than Carter. I'm just saying it'll be number two after Carter.
Oh, okay, maybe.
Fair.
Maybe that's possible.
That's fair.
They just didn't get anything. They got a couple picks in a garbage draft, and they traded for that dude from Utah.
Olenek.
Olenek, who's like a ninth man. They gave him a fat contract.
Don't disrespect Utah, man. The NHL's going there now.
That's true. I would never disrespect Utah. But, I mean, it was a terrible deal. But, again, it was a byproduct of waiting too long, more so than anything. If they had made the move the year prior, which they should have done, and we were saying it at the time, then they would have had a bigger return, but they waited and waited and waited. And as a result of that, they got nothing for him. The 19th pick and, what is it, the 31st pick? And Ochai Ojabi, whatever his name is, and Olenek, who was a UFA to begin with, who in theory they could have signed as a free agent. So, yeah, they basically got nothing for Siakam, who had 37 points in the playoffs last night, a career high.
He's been a beast for
both
games.
Yeah, he's been incredible. He's been incredible, as you'd expect. I mean, he's a playoff performer. We've seen it.
Yeah, absolutely. Arad, would you put the Fred VanVleet trade up there too? And I wouldn't even say it was a trade because they didn't get anything back for him, but that's the whole point. They got nothing for Fred VanVleet, who they ultimately let walk for nothing.
Yeah, I mean, that's not a trade, but yeah, that's one of the worst moves in. Like, that whole 2023 calendar year was just not a good year for the Raptors.
Not a good year.
What was the return for Vince? Eric Williams?
Aaron Williams, Alonzo Mourning, who didn't play.
Joey Graham's
and
corpse.
Charlie V.
Yeah, nice job there. Tough one. Yeah. Yeah, that's Siakam. Man, he was on fire last night. And Giannis. See that quarter zip he's wearing on the sidelines? We got to get one of those. He needs to return ASAP. Although I think for Milwaukee, they're pretty happy with the split without Giannis in the first two games. I don't think they're complaining.
For sure.
And, unless Damian Lillard's
without Giannis, I don't think Giannis will return before this series over.
Yeah, I have no idea. We haven't really heard much about
it. Calf injury?
Yeah, I mean, he better. Or Milwaukee, it's curtains for them. That I can tell you for free. Other things I'll tell you for free. Some scores last night around Major League Baseball, the NBA, and the NHL as well. That's next. This is the First Off Scoreboard. Let's start in the NHL last night, and the Rangers are up 2-0 on the Washington Capitals after a 4-3 win. Zibanejad and Trocheck with a goal and an assist each. The Caps are in big trouble. Game number 3 on Friday evening in Washington. Elsewhere, the Battle of Florida, the Lightning, and the Panthers. Guess who? Carter Verhaeghe wins it in overtime, his 5th career overtime winner. This guy is, I mean, Justin Williams is retired. Carter
Mr.
Verhaeghe.
Game 7.
I mean, he's becoming Mr. Overtime. Justin Williams, known as one of the most clutch performers in NHL history. Carter Verhaeghe is taking the mantle from him. Colorado, a surprising 5-2 win over Winnipeg. Gorgiev, whose name I continue to struggle saying, was actually pretty good in goal for Colorado. And it was a really impressive performance offensively from them as well, getting goals from 5 different players, only an assist for Nathan MacKinnon. So a lot of diversity when it comes to scoring for Colorado.
Man, there was a huge turning point in that game where it was 1-1. Winnipeg killed off a 4-minute penalty, and literally the shift right after that, Scheifele scored to make it 2-1. And the building was just about to explode. And then a couple of shifts later, I would say 1 or 2 shifts later, Kyle Connor hit the post to go up 3-1. And literally, when he hit the post, Colorado went down that same shift, tied the game. And then after that, they just found a way to carry on the momentum and score a couple more goals and get out of there with a victory.
Yeah, 5-2 win, 1-1 in that series.
Crazy how
That's a hell of a series.
Change of events and games, how they could be so critical.
Also tied 1-1, Nashville and Vancouver. A 4-1 win for the Preds. Thatcher Demko questionable for the rest of the series. Quickly, the Jays, they lose 3-2 to the Kansas City Royals.
Vladdy, what are you doing, Vladdy?
No kidding.
You ruined a huge performance by Gausman.
Yeah, you most certainly did. Not a good night for Vladimir Guerrero Jr. The Jays are back at it today. That's the thing about baseball. Quick turnaround. You're right back at it. The Jays will have Yariel Rodriguez, Y-Rod, on the hill in Kansas City tonight. In the NBA, we mentioned Siakam and the Pacers. They pick up a big win. I will break down everything else in the NBA later in the show. Hour two coming up. And I should quickly tell you that this hour of First Up was brought to you by Subaru. Embrace spring weather with the Subaru All-Weather Drive event. Visit your local Subaru dealer to book a test drive today. Hour two with Chris Johnston and a lot of Leaf talk to come. We'll hear from everybody involved after practice yesterday. Big game three tonight in Toronto. That's next.
Formula One lives on TSN with every race all season long. And with TSN Plus, go that extra mile with onboard cameras, pit lane channel, and more.
Boy, is it good here.
F1 lives on TSN and TSN Plus.